Mesechtes Trumas, Per Gimel, Mishnah Ches. Hamaskavan Leimar Truma, Va'amar Meiser. Someone who's now separating the different portions of produce that he's giving away, Trumas and Meisers, he intended, when he separated this portion, he intended to designate it as Truma. But he said the words that I want it to be Meiser. So he made a mistake. Or Meiser, Va'amar Truma. Or he intended to say Meiser and he said Truma. Or a different case, Oila v'amar shlamim. He intended to separate an animal for a carbon oila, which is completely burnt. But he accidentally said the word shlamim. Shlamim is a different type of carbon. Part of it is eaten. It's a different process. Or the reverse case, shlamim v'amar oila. He intended to designate a carbon shlamim, and he ended up saying oila. Or regarding other halachas, here it speaks about shavua. Someone who makes a shavua, he swears, she'eni nichnas l'bayi zeh. He intended to say, I'm not going to go into this house. Va'amar lezeh, and he accidentally said a different house. Or a neder, where he makes a neder not to benefit. She'eni nena lezeh, I'm not going to get any benefit from this person. Va'amar lezeh, but he accidentally switched people, and when he spoke out his neder, he said the wrong person that he didn't intend to, he meant to say another person. So in all these cases, la'amar klum, what he said is not binding at all. It's as if he didn't say it. Ashiu pivili b'shavin, until his mouth and his mind are shavin, are at the same saying the same thing, he has to actually intend mentally to say what he said. Otherwise, it's not binding. The Rav says this is learned from Sukkim, that mentioned both the fact that his words are binding and that his mind, what is in his mind is binding, and that they both need to be working together in order to be binding. Mishnah Tess. Ha'ayva kechavim v'akusi. Ha'ayva kechavim is a non-Jew, so an idol worshiper. V'akusi and akusi, we've spoken about this in the past. The Kuthians, they had a questionable conversion. It was the group, these people were attacked by lions and they converted. There's a difference of opinion if their conversion was binding or not. This Mishnah that bundles them together with the non-Jews apparently is of the opinion that their conversion was not binding. So these people, still, the non-Jew and the Kusi, Trumas and Truma, if they separate Truma from their own produce, it's valid. U'maisre sayin maiser, and if they separate maiser, it's valid. V'akdesha and hektish, and if they separate for hektish a carbon, to be animal to be brought as the offering, hektish, it counts, and it works. So, this is when they're separating their own produce. If they would be separating a produce of a yid, it would not work. We mentioned this in the first part. And this is going with the opinion that when they grow produce in Eretz Yisrael, the fact that they own the land doesn't automatically absolve any obligation of Trumas and Meisers. And when they process the grain, it doesn't absolve the obligation of Trumas and Meisers. They themselves are personally not obligated because they're non-Jews, but there is the potential within the produce to have within it a truma, a miser, and when they separate it, the designation works. The source in the Torah that they have the ability to make these separations and create a kedusha on the produce or on the animal, it all boils down to the karbonis. There's a pasuk in the Torah that teaches that the gayim can bring a carbon. They can designate an animal to be brought as a carbon, and from there we learn that they also have the ability to designate trumas and meisers. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein la'iva kechavim karam revai." V'chachamim aimram yeshlein. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim disagree whether or not the halacha of karam revai is going to apply to a non-Jew. Revai is the year after Arla. Arla is the first 3 years that a fruit tree is growing, that the fruits are usher to benefit from. On the fourth year, there's revai. There's netar revai by all fruit, karam revai specifically by grapevines. That the fourth year, the produce is brought to, it has to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim. So there's a difference of opinion between Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the halachas of karam revai don't apply. Rabbi Yehuda holds they do not apply to a non-Jew who grows produce. And the Chachamim hold that these halachas do apply to the produce of the non-Jew. Not that he's obligated, but the produce itself has these halachas if they come into the hands of a Jew. The Mishnah continued, Trumas Arve Kechavim Medamas. The Truma of a non-Jew that he designated as Truma, it will make Meduma. If it mixes in with other Chulin produce, other regular produce, so we've spoken about this in the past, it makes a mixture, regular Truma makes a mixture of Meduma, that it doesn't have the regular halachas of bittul, it's not nullified by the majority, it needs 100 times its amount to be nullified, otherwise the entire mixture becomes forbidden for Yisrael, has to be eaten by a kohen. And the truma of a non-Jew, since we said that he's able to designate it as truma, it will make meduma if it's mixed in. And also, v'chayavin ala chaymish, if a Yisrael eats it by mistake, he will have the penalty that he has to pay an extra fifth, which is a penalty found by regular truma, and that's because this is regular truma. A non-kain who eats it is going to have to pay this fine, this penalty of extra fifth. Rav Shimon Paiter. Rav Shimon exempts a non-kain from having to pay the fifth. Rav Shimon is of the opinion that the truma is only recognized as truma midrabanan, and this is because he holds when the non-Jew processes the produce, it becomes exempt from Trumas and Maisras, and what he designates it is only going to have status as Truma Midrabanan, and they didn't give this fine, this penalty of the extra fifth. And so he disagrees and holds that there will not be a Chaimish, a fifth penalty that needs to be paid for a non-Kain eating this Truma of a non-Jew.